You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
So I ask that you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. My verses of focus will be 15 and 16, but I want to start at verse 1. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Start at verse 1. If you found your place, could you say amen? Amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering, a sacrifice of God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must not be no filthiness, silly talk, or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. Drop down to verse 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. Just want to thank you, Lord God, for having us to see another day. For truly you stand on your word and say your mercies are fresh each and every morning. So we thank you for a brand new mercy. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us out here to your house of worship, your house of prayer. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would just simply have your way, that we will hear a word from the Lord that's going to help us in this Christian journey. Touch me right now, Lord God. Use me right now, Lord God, as your mouthpiece, that I may speak your truth in season and out of season. Give me Holy Ghost boldness right now, Father God, that I might preach as though it's a matter of life and death. And Lord, I pray to everyone under the sound of my voice, including myself, would choose life in you and have that life more abundantly. Oh, Father God, just simply have your way right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And for a subject this morning, if you will, be careful how you walk. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, Be careful how you walk. Paul here in our text is admonishing the saints of Ephesus. And might I also add that he's admonishing us here today as well, as followers of Christ, to be careful how we walk. The word walk in the Greek is peripatia, which is translated live. So we are to be careful, mindful, attentive to how we live. Amen? Paul was obviously concerned about the believers there in Ephesus. He was warning them and advising them and urging them to walk and live in a way which was consistent for who they were as children of God, as followers of Christ. He says that they were to be imitators of God as beloved children, loving one another as Christ loved them. He said that sexual immorality or any impurities or greed must not even be named among them. He said there must not be any filthiness or silly talk or foolish talk or coarse joking, but rather giving thanks to God. He says in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as people of light. Yes. Amen. See, Paul knew that some of the Ephesian believers were being influenced by the culture in Ephesus. And I come to find out in my study that there was all kind of forms of immorality going on there. And some of those believers were being influenced by it and living in a way that was contrary to God. And might I say, as Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. We will be totally naive to think that the world and the culture today and that all the immorality and evilness are not influencing Christians today in our churches. The world is influencing the church more so than the church influencing the world. We see it. There's fornication in the church. Come on, y'all quiet. We see it. Adultery in the church. Infidelity, homosexuality. We even got gay pastors, gay preachers ministering when they should be getting ministered to. I've seen a study that 40% of Christians practice fornication. Wow. Oh, if you don't know what fornication is, it just means you having sex and you ain't married. All right? I've done it. I've done it as a believer. It wasn't right then. It's not right now. All right. God didn't like it then and he don't like it now. All right. And seeing some of us say, I don't do that. See, but when we see these things amongst our brothers and our sisters, and we sit there in silence, it gives a thumbs up. It says that you just put a check mark on it. That's okay. It says that it shows off a condoning spirit. I know this ain't a popular message. It's a tight message, but it's a right message. Hallelujah. We see our brothers and sisters worshiping on Sunday, and on Monday, you on Facebook cussing somebody else. On Monday, you in the break room with listening to all kind of filthy jokes and laughing at them. And you know when it's filthy when they come and say, oh, you don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. And we shouldn't be engaged in it. We shouldn't be engaged in filthy talk. We shouldn't be engaged in gossiping and slandering one another. We see that too much today, especially with all this political stuff going on. People who say they're Christians, slandering one another, talking about one another. Paul says these things shouldn't be named among you. The Bible said blessings and cursings should come out the same mouth. Hallelujah. Be careful how you walk. We see in the church a lack of love and concern for one another. We see in the church selfishness. It's about me, my, and I. We see brothers and sisters tearing one another down instead of building one another up. Be careful how you walk. We see jealousy, envy, backbiting. We see disagreements that leads to disunity. Oh, but we ain't got that going on here, spirit of unity, amen. Hallelujah. We see physical altercations even in the church. Y'all done seen those videos. Be all on Facebook. Some say they staged, but a lot of this stuff is real. And see, not only you and I seeing it as believers, the world is seeing that too. And it gives off the bad representation of who God is, of who Christ is, or who the church is, and who we're going to be in Him. However, as Paul had a desire for the church in Ephesus to walk in a way that properly represented God, that properly represented their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ought to have a desire as well to represent Him properly, to represent Him rightly. Because after all, Jesus, He freed us from the bondage of sin.
That's right.
Amen. He set us free from the dominion of sin. Sin has no more dominion over us. We are studying that in the Bible study night right now. That we are set apart to Him. That we are sanctified in Him. And we are set apart for God's holy use. Amen. The devil used to use us up. But God is the one that's using us now. So we are set apart to glorify His name. The Bible said we were bought with a price. And we need to glorify Him in our body and in our spirit. We are dead to sin. And we are alive to God. Anybody here alive to God? The word of God says in 1 John 2 and 6, whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen? If you say you abide in Him, walk the same way as Jesus walked. In other words, if you know Him, you need to show Him. Amen? If you know Him, you need to show Him in the way that you live. How are we going to walk carefully? When the text says, 15, it says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Some of your translation say, not as foolish men, but as wise. Because if we're not walking in the wisdom of God, we're walking foolishly.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. If you want to believe that or not, we're walking foolishly. We're not walking in the wisdom of God. So we must have wisdom, church. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of having experience and knowledge and good judgment. Do you want to have good judgment? Do you want to be able to do the right thing opposed to the wrong thing? Huh? Do you want knowledge to be able to go down the right path? And a biblical definition of wisdom is the ability to perceive the true nature of a situation and to implement the will of God in that situation. Hallelujah. Simply put, see what God's perspective is on a matter and do it. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3 and 7 say, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. As one translation say, don't be impressed with yourself. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Don't think that you're smarter than God. Don't think you know more than God. That's why the Bible said to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. It's God's wisdom, not yours. And see, we all here, I can imagine ourselves to be wise. But the question I pose to you as well as myself, where's your wisdom coming from? Is it coming from the world? Is it coming from social media, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and TalkTik? Is it coming from those things? See, the wisdom of the world is contrary and opposed to God's wisdom. Mm-hmm. See, the wisdom of the world will lead you away from the very thing that God wants you to do.
All right.
You see, there's a lot of good things on social media. Don't get me wrong. But there's an awful lot of bad things on there. That we as believers should not be embracing. Some of us may think, and I believe I mentioned this one time before, that wisdom comes with age. And we know that's the biggest lie ever told. Because we all know a whole lot of old fools out there. All right? That's the biggest lie ever told. Wisdom don't come with age. Wisdom come in God's word. Wisdom come in the Bible. Wisdom come in studying the word of God. Wisdom come when you get your face in the scriptures and you eat up God's word and take it in for yourself. That's where wisdom come from. That's why the Bible tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why the word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, the word corrects when we're wrong, teaches when we're right, and prepare us to do every good work God called us to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's wisdom. When you want to do it God's way. I like what Proverbs 4 and 7 say in the Message Bible. I don't go in the Message Bible much, but I like the way it was worded. The Message Bible says, above all, before all, do this, get wisdom. It says, write this at the top of your list, get understanding. Is that at the top of your list? Is that at the top of my list? What's at the top of our list? Some of us might be having at the top of our list money, success, and stature in our communities. I'm here to tell you that when you get the wisdom of God, wisdom will help in every aspect of your life. Proverbs 16 and 16 says, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Because when we're getting God's wisdom, hallelujah. When we're getting understanding of God's word, hallelujah. It's like the old song say, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Hallelujah. See, God wants us to walk in wisdom. He wants to walk, we want us to walk in according to his word so that we'll be able to walk carefully. Mm-hmm. That's why the Bible said the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So that we can walk carefully. Amen. Emulating him, showing him. Hallelujah. See, he wants us to have wisdom so we'll be able to know what is right and what is wrong.
That's right.
What is good and what is bad.
Yeah.
What is holy and what is evil.
Yeah.
What is of God and what is not of God. And see, when you got wisdom, you'll be able to check yourself. You see, you got wisdom, you'll be able to check yourself. You'll be able to check your evil thoughts. You'll be able to check that thing that you are thinking about doing. You'll be able to put yourself in check. You'll know the thing that you're thinking about. The things that you're thinking about doing is the wrong thing to do. That is the evil thing to do. He wants us to have wisdom, have knowledge, and good judgment. So we be able to navigate through all the issues, all the situations and the storms of life. So we be able to emerge with victory and be able to stand in the midst of it. Oh, that's why I like what Jesus says in Matthew 7. He says, those who hear the teachings of mine and they do them, they act on them. I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when that storm came and beat against the house stood because it was built on the rock. Get wisdom. wisdom would show us to see Satan, because he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. Wisdom would show us to be able to see the snares and the traps that he set. Hallelujah. The wisdom would tell us that we need to watch as well as pray. Hallelujah. Wisdom also will show us how to, husbands, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And wisdom will show you ladies how to love your husband and submit him to them as unto Christ. Wisdom will show us how to love our children. Wisdom will show us how to love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wisdom will tell us to love instead of hate. Wisdom will tell us to forgive instead of holding grudges. Wisdom will tell us not to render evil for evil when somebody does something to us, but to treat evil with kindness. That's what wisdom would do. And thank God. Give God praise that he's even given us a helper. Hallelujah. He's given us an advocate. He's given us a Holy Spirit to help apply God's wisdom. Amen? To help apply God's word to our lives. See, the Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us when we receive Jesus Christ by faith as Savior and Lord. See, and the Bible says, and it says also here in the 18th chapter here, it said, be not filled with the wine, with the wine of the world, but be filled with the Spirit. See, the Spirit in each and every one of us, when we come to know Jesus Christ, he's in his fullness. Amen? See, when we talk about being filled, you got to know that he's already in his fullness in you. See, when you receive Jesus Christ, God didn't give you the Holy Spirit in increments. He didn't say, here's a little now. I'm going to give you a little later. He gave us the Holy Spirit in his fullness. He's in us. See, the Holy Spirit, he is totally sufficient. We don't need no more Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit needs more of you. He needs more of us. Surrender to him. And see, when we surrender to him, the Holy Spirit says he's going to lead you to all truth. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring remembrance the word of God. And we can walk in wisdom before the world. Hallelujah. Get wisdom. Make that first on your list so that we can properly emulate him. Amen. How are we going to walk carefully? We found out to walk carefully, we got to walk wisely, walk in wisdom. Then verse 16 says, making the most of your time because the days are evil. And there was two Greek words that I picked up about time. One was chronos. I had this pronounced right earlier. Chronos. Chronos, which denotes a fixed, a measured, an allocated season. And the other word is karios, which also it says a fixed, a measured, opportune time, a moment, a season. And I'm reminded in Matthew 24:36, it says, no one knows about the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son, but God the Father only. Yeah. Only God knows when Jesus is going to return. Okay. Amen. Amen. He's the only one that knows when Jesus will return. So we, as believers today, we have a fixed and a measured and an allocated season right now to be about God's business. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. To be about what he would have us to do. We have an opportune time right now not to be wasting our time, but to make sure we're making the most of our time. And how we're going to make the most of our time is for the upbuilding of his kingdom. Hallelujah.
our agenda is about his agenda.
See, that's why I like what Jesus says in John 4 and 34. He says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. That ought to be our nourishment. That ought to be your nourishment. That ought to be my nourishment, is doing the will of God, finishing the work. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I come not to be served, but I came to serve. What did Jesus say? He said, I come to call lost souls unto lost souls unto Christ. He comes to seek and to save that which was lost. And that ought to be our work as well. Hallelujah. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation to go out into a dark and dying world and spread the word of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Matthew to go ye therefore in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. That should be our business right now. Amen. Amen. It's funny how we can spend our time on everything else. Mm-hmm. We ain't got no problem with spending our time on things that gratify us. All right. That gratify our flesh. I'm talking to me too. We ain't got no problem doing that. But when it comes to the things of God, it seems like we put them on the back burner. He wants us to be about his business right now. Amen. See, there's a lot of people out there right now who don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. There's a lot of people out there right now who's walking in sin and darkness. The Bible said the harvest is plentiful, but the labels are few. Hallelujah. And see, we only got a set amount of time because we don't know when Jesus is going to crack that sky open. We don't know when he's going to rapture his church. One day the grace of God is one day is going to close out. So we ought to have a sense of urgency to be about his will and not our own. Hallelujah. So, church, you and I, us, we need to be careful how we walk. You know that the world got their eye on you. Mm-hmm. We come to work singing praises, quoting Bible scripture. And then the next moment somebody do something, you ready to cuss them out. Huh? Come on, let's be honest now. I believe they were talking about that in Sunday school this morning. Giving way to God, not yourself. Giving way to the spirit, not your flesh. The world got their eye on you. They got their eye on me. So we got to make sure our walk is correct. We are held to a higher standard of living. So we got to be careful so we can go out there and tell somebody about Jesus. See, we can't tell somebody about Jesus and we're doing the same thing they're doing. They say, you cussing and fussing like me. You sitting up here with this filthy joke just like me. Mm-hmm. You dibbling and dabbing just like me. We can't tell somebody about Christ if we're doing the same thing they're doing. Our walk should be different. Our talk should be different. Our direction in life should be different. Hallelujah. So we need to be careful how we walk, to make sure we're walking in the wisdom of God. Make sure we're girded up in the word of God. Make sure we're girded up in the spirit of God so that world will see Jesus in you and I. That's why Colossians 4 and 5 say, conduct yourselves. Hear that? Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward the outsiders. Outsiders, making the most of your opportunity. See, we need to be walking in the wisdom of God, showing his character, showing his attributes. We need to be showing it in our neighborhood, showing it on our job, showing it in our community, showing it in our family. You'll be at that family reunion. Make sure Jesus has been seen. Hallelujah. God wants us to be ambassadors of Christ, represent him. He wants to use us as a conduit to turn the lost into his marvelous light. To take them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's a great privilege he's given us. And we need to be serious about it. Hallelujah. I need to be serious about it. You need to be serious about it.
Because people are going dying every day. And the big question we want to ask ourselves, do they know Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So he wants to use us to bring those out of darkness into his life. He wants to use us as a conduit of light. See, that's why he says in Matthew 5:14-15, you are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and gives out light to all in the house. See, as we walk in this world, as we walk in our communities, as we walk on the jobs, as we walk in our schools, we ought to be a light.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
They ought to see something different in us.
Yeah.
See, they ought to bring a longing in them. Amen?
Yeah.
They want what we have. Amen?
Yeah.
That they want to have the Jesus that we have. They ought to be something on the inside to make them examine their walk. Because I've seen in verse 11, in the fifth chapter, it says we ought to be exposing all deeds of darkness. We ought to be exposing all deeds of darkness. And we ought to be exposing about the way we live.
Yes.
And doing it by the words we speak at the utterance of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be showing Jesus in all that we do. So that we can be effective. So we can be ones who would may give a longing, a thirst for righteousness in the unbeliever. Thank you, Lord. So we need to be shining to his glory. We need to be shining, showing his holiness. We need to be shining, showing his righteousness. We need to be shining, showing his goodness. We need to be walking in his love, walking in his joy, walking in his peace, walking in his patience, walking in his kindness, walking in his faithfulness, walking in his gentleness, walking, showing that we are self-controlled by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they come running saying, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they can see Jesus in us.
Yeah.
So we can tell them about the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. So we can tell them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So we can tell them that he will walk you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we can tell them that he's going to walk you into the newness of life in Christ Jesus. So we can tell them that he is the bread of life. So we can tell them that he is the living water that will never thirst again. So we can tell them that he is the Savior of the world. And some 2,000 years ago, hallelujah, he made that so. Some 2,000 years ago, he went to that old rugged cross. Some 2,000 years ago, he took the crown of thorns upon his head. Some 2,000 years ago, he took the spikes in his hand, the nails in his feet. Some 2,000 years ago, they pierced him in his side. And the blood of Jesus that washed us of our sin and all our guilty stains. Oh, some 2,000 years ago, they put him in a barred tomb. Oh, yeah, he was barred. But 3 days later, he rose up with all power in his hand. Power over death. Power over grave. Power over sin. And then thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe that God has raised him from the dead. There shall be saved. Be careful how you walk. That's my message for you.